Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, author and Bible teacher, Sheila Walsh. Sheila, you are a woman known well for your refreshing transparency in your walk with God, including some of the toughest circumstances, even noting the phrase, I'm not good enough, and I'm good with that. Would you address the process or that concept for our listeners?
You know, it's so interesting, Tracy. I think that so many of us as Christian women struggle with feeling like we're not enough. We don't measure up. And yet, if you actually dig deep to the very foundation of our faith, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because we're not enough. And I spent so much of my life trying to pursue perfection, and it almost killed me until I switched it to following Christ, who is perfect, and accepting the fact that until you and I see Jesus face to face, we're going to fall down. We're going to make mistakes. But as C.S. Lewis said, I read this recently, the one thing that separates Christianity from almost every other religion on the planet is grace, the grace of God, which is his love stooping to meet us where we are.
Yes, what a beautiful picture. Recently, I had this scary moment of rage when I felt like something was not fair and kind of beyond my control. Maybe I was triggered by a past betrayal, but afterwards, I was pretty disappointed that I had allowed that to build up and then erupt in me. How can we move beyond the struggles of pain to what God wants to do in the future inside us and through us?
You know, it's so interesting. I've been studying the Gospels in depth recently, and there's a story where Peter, who was so convinced he would never fail the Lord, and yet Jesus warned him, Peter, you know, three times, you're going to say, you didn't even know me. And it's just so interesting the way that God redeems our brokenness and redeems our fallen places, because if you go back to that scene on the night when Christ was arrested, Peter is standing beside a charcoal fire. So there's the smell of charcoal in the air. And three times he says, I never knew you. But after the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus meets them on a beach. And it's very specific to say that Jesus built a charcoal fire. So once more, Peter is there with the smell of charcoal in the air. And Jesus asks him, three times, Peter, do you love me? And it's as if Christ redeems our brokenness so that the next time Peter smelled charcoal, what triggered in him wasn't the moment where he said, I never knew you, but the moment when he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. That for me, it's almost like, I read a phrase by a guy called Lewis Smead that's like redemptive remembering. Christ wants to take us back to the places where we fell or we were broken or we were bruised, but change how we remember those places, realize that he was there so that when those little triggers come, we're able immediately to lift them to him.
Yeah, he redeems the broken. Sheila, it can be overwhelming to think of correcting a lifetime of thinking patterns. In small steps, we can grow. How do you suggest we start the process to readjust our mindsets, even away from that concept of perfection?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I was just reading a friend's new book this morning, and she was talking about that she and her husband were on a boat, and he asked her to throw the anchor over, and she threw the anchor over but didn't make sure that it had actually clung to the ocean bottom. And they both took a nap, and they discovered when they woke up that they had drifted. And I think that's one of the greatest dangers in our faith, that we just kind of drift. You know, I make it a daily discipline. We live in a three-story townhouse, and I go out on our little balcony every morning with my Bible and a cup of coffee, and I read the Word of God, and I read the Psalms out loud. I make it my intentionality to pursue my relationship with Christ so that I don't realize that I'm several miles down the road and I've drifted, because we're living in a world that is increasingly hostile to our faith. And so for you and I, as God's daughters, to stand strong, we have to really pursue Christ.
Yes, absolutely. A dear friend of mine reminded me recently that every single person, male or female, demanding or timid, feels inadequate. We just mask it in different ways. What sort of gift do we allow in our lives when weakness rather than strength becomes our goal, Sheila?
Well, I think back, obviously we all know that famous passage when Paul, literally, I mean, the word that's used in the original Greek, he pleaded with God to take away whatever was his weakness. And we're not quite sure what it is, but he literally begged God to take it away. And then came this revelation that God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. You know, it's funny, when our son was younger, he struggled for a time with a stutter. And it really bothered him in high school because sometimes he would have to, you know, read a paper out loud and he dreaded it. But one day when I was changing his bed sheets and cleaning things up, I noticed on the ceiling of his bedroom, so when he's lying on his pillow at night, he had pasted that very scripture and he pasted it on his bathroom mirror. And honestly, I think it's when we recognize our weakness and accept that we're not supposed to be strong in our own strength, that we rely more on the Lord. That's why I can't wait for this conference. I can't wait to be with these women, because I just want to remind my sisters that, you know what? A, we're all the same. We, you know, we put on these great faces and it looks like we've all got it together, but every single one of us is broken. But I discovered in the darkest night of my life that my brokenness is a far greater bridge to other people than pretend wholeness will ever be.
Oh, thank you for that. I was just going to bring that up. How does that perspective of brokenness impact the way we see other people?
I think you can only, I almost don't really trust people until they've been through something hard. I remember, I think it was Elgar who'd written this beautiful, beautiful piece, and there's a vocal piece in it. And he was sitting in a theater in London listening. She was a young singer, and the person beside him said to him, "What did you think of her voice?" And he said, "It was really beautiful, but it will be quite something when she's been broken." There's something about just the very act of coming face to face with the fact that no matter how long we've served the Lord, no matter how long we've known the Lord, we are all broken, that changes how we see other people. You can't extend grace to someone when you haven't been soaked to the skin in grace yourself.
Oh, amen, my sister. You mentioned you're going to be at this women's conference, Life Women's Conference at Clark Summit University near Scranton next month.
I just would encourage women to come. I know that 2020 was a hard year and we all thought, well, the minute January 1st hits, woohoo, it's going to be great. And there's still so much that's very hard. So I would just really encourage women to grab a friend, grab a sister. And let's gather together and laugh and worship and dig deep into the Word of God.
Great. And that's coming up near Scranton, July 23rd and 24th. Registration is still available. Sheila, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know today?
You know, one of the things that I found great strength in is to take a few moments, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, if that's all you have, away from television, away from family, away from social media, and just sit in the presence of the Lord. You don't even have to have words. Just sit in the presence of the Lord and let Him love you.
That's author Sheila Walsh. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.